This is the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson.
Here we are, Dave, with another final hooter to talk about the best game in the world, which is not Tiddlywinks, it's not Dominoes, it's Rugby League.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a really interesting Dominoes game the other week. It just happened to be that a couple of old Rugby League greats were playing it, though.
Oh, yeah, okay. Go on, you got me interested now.
No, that's it. No, you fell asleep on me.
It wasn't Steve-O, was it?
No. No, I don't think so. I'm not even sure whether he's got any dominoes, to be honest.
A lot of rugby fans might say he's lost his dominoes.
He's lost his marbles, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, you're talking a different sport here, aren't you? Another two rounds of Super League done and dusted. And as the season progresses, it might be only four rounds in, but it's all to play for, isn't it? I mean, it's very competitive.
Yeah, it is. There's been some really good games, actually, hasn't there? And I've been impressed with St. Helens over the course of the start of the season. I think that they really do look like the business this year, don't they? As do Leeds. Leeds also look very, very
keen. That bat line's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to come up with plenty of tries this season, isn't it? And with Zach Hardacre with something to prove after the way that, shall we say, his World Cup ended, I think that Leeds are going to be a big proposition this year.
You mentioned Zach Hardacre, and he's one of many Championship players that learnt the trade in the lower leagues, stepped into the heart of the big Super League era or arena, and really holding their ground, and all the talking about how great these Championship players actually are, and Super League clubs are finally waking up to it.
Well, it's took them long enough, hasn't it, to be honest. I mean,
19 years.
The Championship's been the best kept secret, really, in Rugby League, with the way that players go about the business, the way that they're grounded. Obviously, we had your man crush during the World Cup about Chris Hill.
I've got over that now.
Okay, is it Kyler Moore now?
Might be.
But these are like...
I like men with beards.
Smashing lads, who's come up from Championship. They've done a real good job and, they're really making the mark on Super League now.
Certainly are, aren't they? And there's plenty of players that will be looking to stake a claim this year for when a few of the Championship clubs make a charge towards maybe possible Super League entry.
Well, yes. I mean... Well, at the end of this year, two clubs drop out of Super League, don't they? And from next year, we've got the big middle eight division, which will take place. And there is every chance that a Championship club or two could find their way into the big league.
Let's kick on with the good, the bad and the ugly now. Now, the good, it's got to be the former Widnes and Castleford Tigers for me. It's nice to see some different teams in the top four highlighting just how competitive this season's going to be. And it's good to see clubs that you're expecting to be in the top four around this stage of the season, or certainly the top eight, really struggling at the lower end of the league.
Are you talking Wigan in that?
And maybe.
Because, I mean, they've had a bit of a first start to the season, haven't they? It's not been a good start. It's not been a particularly bad start. But, losing late on against Castleford Tigers, who Darryl Powell has got them playing an exciting brand of rugby league. He certainly got his halfbacks ticking there. And we were talking about Championship players before. Liam Finn's been at the real hub of everything that Castleford Tigers has done recently. But nice to see one of the old stagers, Luke Dawn, who they brought in, who scored tries for me virtually every ground, hasn't he? He's been a great player as far as try scoring goes, and he's proven a real shrewd signing, I think, and a shrewd acquisition for Darryl Powell.
Now, I know that 100% record is going to go for Widnes and Castleford at one stage this season, but it's good to see them two in there, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, Widnes have been talking since pre-season about, really making a charge for the eight this year. And with the way that they've played, especially at home, you wouldn't count against it. Obviously, home away form is a very different animal indeed, and with a forthcoming game against, expected front runners, maybe that 100% record's going to go, but you can't take anything away from the way that Widnes have been playing. I mean, against Huddersfield Giants, they really did deserve their victory, and they dug in when they had to against Salford and raced away with it in the final 20.
Now, Amanda Wilkinson, you might not know the name, but well done to her. She's in the good this time round, because she's become the first Rugby League female to become a level 3 qualified coach in the history of the sport.
I wonder if this means that when a Super League job comes up, because they usually ask for level 2, yeah, level 3 coaches,
she could be,
don't
in
they?
There.
She could certainly apply for it. How big a story would that be? And, well done to Amanda. I mean, it's great that Rugby League is stretching its boundaries, not just of where the sport is played. Obviously, we've got, Gloucestershire, teams from Gloucestershire, we've got Oxford, we've got Hemel, but also the fact that we're...
It's not just a sport for men.
No, definitely not. the Women's Rugby League, it is certainly on the increase, and it's good to see women certainly taking up the reins and pushing through in the coaching ranks as well.
A bit like that old programme that was on the TV many years ago when it was the Woman Football Manager. What was that called?
I don't know, you've lost me there. I'm not sure.
I'll try and find out before the end of this show, shall we?
You're not thinking of Jossie's Giants, are you? No. Or something like that? No.
In the bad, Sam Burgess announcing his intentions to switch codes after this season. It's never good when we produce our players and then we lose them to the opposite code.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
He's not achieved anything in the game. Okay, he's got himself an NRL contract and he's gone over there and proved himself as one of the better forwards in the world. But what's he won? Are we going to miss him? He's got three other brothers. They can take the strain.
It takes three brothers to replace Sam Burgess. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all. But I think that we produce a lot of players. And interestingly enough as well, if you look at the England Rugby Union setup, Luther Burrell is a former Huddersfield Giants under-18s player. You know, so it just shows the Rugby League has been producing them all along. And it just, I would say that that's a big pat on the back to our sport, to be honest, because we're able to produce athletes who can be multi-skilled, multi-talented and succeed in other sporting arenas.
Good to see you can see the positives. I'm putting it in the bad anyway. And also the RFL's decision to reject Marwan Kukash's idea of making one marquee signing so we don't count on the salary cap. So we'd prevent our star players switching codes.
I think it's certainly an interesting idea which Marwan put forward. I actually half agree with him, to be honest. I think that something like that would certainly shake the game up. And obviously as well, the clubs who couldn't afford a marquee signing, the option was there of selling their golden ticket, wasn't it? So, you know, they could earn a little bit extra money. And when you've got clubs who are, you know, really struggling on their uppers and they're not quite sure where the next pound is going to be coming from, you know, that was a way of getting around it. But unfortunately for him, it was deemed not a no-go area, I suppose, but as far as Super League clubs were concerned. And, well, Marwan's going to have to go back to the drawing board, isn't he?
Funny you should mention tickets. If you go on his Twitter page, there's a picture of him dressed as Willy Wonka, and it's got a caption, "Now I've got a golden ticket."
I tell you what, I really like Marwan Kukash. I love the way that he talks the game up. I don't see any negatives in anything that he said about the game so far, to be honest, because I just think that you know, he livens it up, he challenges the establishment, and it needs to be done.
Well, he's actually in Yoga League as Dr. Kukash's response to the RFL's decision to that marquee signing idea has got him in trouble, to be honest with you. And I totally agree with the RFL. You can't have owners openly slagging off the game via social media websites.
Well, I mean, the Rugby League has set a precedent as far as its players go, hasn't it? Because they have warned players. Players have been fined. We've even had players who have been banned from playing games because of comments that they've actually made on Twitter and other social networks that can be used. Yeah, some ways I think it's a little bit harsh, though. You know, I mean, he's obviously trying his level best for the game and trying to get the name of Rugby League out there. And I just find it's a really poor show, to be honest, that everything that he seems to be saying and everything that he said seems to be jumped on by everybody. And, you know, I applaud people like Marwan Kukash for, like I said, challenging the establishment. There's probably ways and means of doing that, of course, and maybe, you know, going on Twitter and other social media networks isn't the way to go about it. Maybe he needs to raise these in a meeting. Maybe he needs to go and open his own TV channel and start announcing them there. Then he can get away with it. I mean, at the moment, he's already
got his own leather jackets branding, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. And I mean, that devil that goes around on the edge of the pitch at the Salford Stadium now, that even looks like Marwan, you know. So he's got his own co-host, you know. I think that he could make it.
And finally, in the ugly, the situation regarding the Bowls, well, let's face it, it's going to get ugly before it gets better.
It's a shambles. A total shambles. How Bradford Bulls have allowed this to get on. I feel really, really sorry for the fans, because the fans, you know, this time 18 months ago, they all clubbed together. They got 500 grand. Where the heck has that 500 grand gone? And why does it take more to run a Super League club? I mean, I can understand where they were coming from about them, you know, having half the money and whatever. But I tell you what, we were looking, weren't we, at one point about the squad and a couple of weeks ago, thinking
which players might be vulnerable,
which players could go next, and you know, certainly we had our answer, didn't we? Because Nick Scruton was on my list, and he headed down the road to Wakefield. So how many more players are going to go? Obviously, they seem to be signing players on loan, and they brought Danny Bridge in, haven't they, for example, from Warrington. They've got a couple of other lads who's come in to fill the breach there. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs because, you know, you go back just a few years, Bradford were right at the top of the game. It just shows how the mighty can fall, I suppose, doesn't it?
Certainly is. And with the days of promotion and relegation back in the action for Rugby League, well, what would happen to Bradford Bulls if they did get relegated?
Well, at the moment, they're sitting pretty at the bottom of the table, aren't they, on -2 points. But to be fair, out of the first four games in Super League, they've won two of them. So there is enough talent still within that squad.
If they can keep the squad together.
If they can keep it together, yeah, that's a whole matter, and if the coach still manages to, shall we say, retain his passion for the game.
Right, let's talk about games, shall we, on the field. My pick of the games over the last 2 weeks, in round four, it's got to be Casford's big win over Wigan Warriors.
It was a great result, that, wasn't it? I mean, it was an all-action first half. Wigan actually leading 24-22 at half-time. We had tries from Matty Boyne, who's coming for all kinds of criticism on the Wigan side. Green, the standoff. Smith going over after 20 minutes. And even Tony Club got in on the action just before half-time. In response, Castleford came up with tries from Dixon, Dawn, Milner, and Clark, who is quickly adding to his already impressive start to his career, to be honest. I think that, you know, Clark's got a long, long way to go, and I think he'll be a smashing player. Maybe he'll have to move away from Castleford, you know, to get to the very, very top of his game, but let's face it, he's doing a job there at the moment. Second half, Channing went over, and then there was that try right at the end from Luke Dawn, you know, magnificent. Snade kicking 6 goals from 7. Burgess going over for Wigan. Charnley scoring in the 79th minute. And actually, in that 79th minute, it was all action, wasn't it? Because I think I'm right in saying that Smith dropped a goal to edge Wigan in front, 31-30. And the next thing you know, Luke Dawn straight over the try line, and they're winning the game.
Yeah, the only downside for Casford is the fact that Kurt Dixon broke his jaw, so that sees him sideline for a couple of weeks. But a big win for them. And for Wigan, I don't know, is the absence of Sam Tompkins proving a bigger bridge to breach?
Well,
is that the right saying?
Let's face it, I mean, Tompkins is a world-class player, and world-class players don't come along that often. They've brought Matt Bowen in, who's under all kinds of criticisms at the moment. I think I've even spoke not very well of him, shall I say, during his opening start to his Wigan career. There's too much skill, there's too much passion in that Wigan dressing room for them to stay in the position that they're in for very much longer. I really think that they'll start to rise. They'll start to push towards the top four. Whether they'll finish in the top two or not, I don't think they will this season, but certainly a top four spot is not out of the question, and I think that Wigan will start to put it right very soon.
My pick from round three is going to be Widnes's win over Huddersfield Giants. Nobody saw that one coming.
No, and you know, Rhys Hambry, yeah, I'm sure he's got the freedom of Widnes, to be honest, now, after coming up with that try about 5 or 6 minutes from the end. Was it a try? Having seen the replays since, I think that certainly the people on the touchline, they willed him over. The touch judges got it wrong, in my opinion, but it's in the papers, isn't it? It's in the history books. It's a win for Widnes. It was nothing less than they deserved, because, to be honest, even in that game when Huddersfield went 10-0 up, it was against the run of play. They put a hoofing great high kick up, which came off Hambry and could have gone anywhere, but went straight to a Huddersfield hand, and they then passed it out wide to score in the corner. And then the second try, Leroy Cudjoe intercepted and went 80 metres, you know, so that was again, a very, very positive play which Widnes were coming up with. And, you know, Widnes fought back very well. If we were talking about the Widnes of perhaps 18 months ago, two tries in quick succession like that, and they would have folded and chucked the cards in, chucked the deck chairs in. Everything would have gone, wouldn't it? But you know, Widnes are starting to really build some resilience there, and it's I mean, immense credit really to Dennis Betts, who I know I've certainly been critical of over the last 2 or 3 years that he's been over there. But he's starting to make me eat my words, and that's what I hope he continues to do.
Widnes backed that up with a win against the Salford Red Devils in round 5, and good to see Huddersfield put that defeat behind them and make Leeds Rhinos really work hard for that draw at the John Smith Stadium.
I tell you what, it was a real tough game that as well, wasn't it? The Huddersfield Giants won against the Leeds Rhinos. They basically cancelled each other out. I mean, I've just had a look at the stats, and although, you know, certain players perform better than others, if you take it as a whole, they were so evenly matched that a result like that, a draw, was probably justified in the end.
Certainly was. I've seen a quote from forgot his name, Paul Anderson, head coach of Huddersfield Giants. I've seen a great quote from him. He said, since his days from Bradford, he's not gone any bolder, but he's gone a little bit fatter.
But why would he have said that after this particular game?
I have no idea.
Who asked him that question?
Maybe someone was asking him about it's the stress of the job making hair fall. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You know, we should get Paul Anderson on this show, shouldn't we, and see if we can find out, you know, what made him actually come out with that quote, because it's a bizarre one.
Real bizarre one, wasn't it? But yeah, great game, wasn't it? And it made it Thursday Night Rugby League entertaining.
Well, let's face it, Rugby League...
It's actually Friday.
Rugby League on any night of the week is good, whether it be a Thursday, Friday, let's have it on a Wednesday, even let's have it on a Tuesday. Hang on, I'll tell you what, Monday, 2 a.m.
That'll do.
That'll do. In fact, any day of the week.
Set me alarm clock.
Doesn't matter. We love our Rugby League, and we hope you do too.
Right, Widnes got a victory against the Salford Red Devils at the Halton Stadium as well. Then Rhys Hanbury, another try scorer for the Vikings. He said they were a big team around the middle, and they showed, but Widnes showed a bit more composure than the Red Devils to get the victory.
They're a big team, especially around the middle, and there's a few sore bodies in our change room after that game.
What do you think the difference was between the two teams?
I'm not sure. I think we just maybe a bit more composure. We knew if we stuck at our game plan, it was going to pay off with us in the last 20 or whenever it was, but we were going to stay in the grind. And I'm glad that we did, and we got 2 points again.
Showing a lot of durability, because for the second match in a row you've gone behind twice, but you've hit back and held on to the lead.
Yeah, I think it probably comes down to we've got to fight for our places. There's quality players that are not playing at the moment who is sitting on the sideline waiting for us not to perform when they don't come in. So I think it's just put everyone on notice, and you probably can see it, that we're working a lot harder for each other, and we know no one's safe in our team, which is a good thing.
For you guys personally, seemed to dominate the first half. Were you disappointed to have been behind, bearing in mind you had a lion's share of possession?
Yeah, we didn't really look at the scoreboard. They got two tries from it's a long break. They didn't break us down or anything like that. So we knew that if we stuck to our game plan, we'd come away with a win.
For yourself personally, you seem to be getting a free roll on the attack.
Yeah, I'm working well with Kevin, Joey, and two back rolls are creating space for me, and I just keep on doing my role, and hopefully get a few more breaks and a few more tries.
So you scored one today, and the one you scored, it was all about being aware of where the defence was.
Yeah, it's just we made a breakdown on the right side, and Paddy come close, and then it was just a slow play ball, and I seen the line, so I just stuck it out there.
Joe's a job well done, but it gets tough next week with a trip to Leeds.
Yep, that's what we want. We want to it's a great position that we're in at the moment. We haven't been in that before, but we're 3 from 3. So we'll go to Leeds, and that's going to be our hardest test yet. And hopefully we can work on our waveform and get the win. That's a few wins in a row for us now.
You guys are a confident bunch anyway, but 3 from 3, does that sound good at this stage?
Yeah, it's real good. This is we all knew this is going to be a hard year, because there's our positions fighting for. There's only 12 teams for next year, so we're all been working hard for that, and if we just keep on picking up wins, we can make sure we're getting in the eight.
That's what it's about, isn't it? Just picking up wins. And he mentioned that combination here, Kevin Brown and Joe Mellor, is devastating for the Vikings at the minute.
I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, Joe Mellor's really come on, isn't he? He's really coming on as a halfback. I think he's learned so much over the last sort of few months and last couple of years over at Widnes Vikings. Kevin Brown, now he's getting some regular rugby. He's also starting to work on the combinations. And although his kicking game was a little bit off at times in that game against Salford, and at times his passing was a little bit done, if you can come up with two tries at the end of it, hey, it's a great performance, isn't it?
Well, I mentioned that all might not be well at Wigan, which is the fact they've struggled to really replace Sam Tompkins to some real effect for them at this stage in the season. But what on earth's going on at Castellan Dragons?
You know, I don't think we've got long enough to discuss it, have we? There's that many problems, there's that many holes in the defence. They don't seem to be playing as one, and they're just conceding so many daft tries, so many daft penalties. They've got players appearing in front of the beak of the rugby league every other week. It's been a dreadful start, let's have it straight. I mean, I'm just looking at the stats now. 4 games in, they've scored 66 points for... Okay, that's not
bad.
Too bad, but, you know, not great. And they've conceded a massive 164 points. It's currently the worst record in Super League, that.
I think they need to get on the phone and get the great Menzies back.
They need to get the tackling bags out. I don't know about getting Menzies back.
And as it was, the Dragons team were dragged back in disgrace. They should have been staying over here for another couple of days, shouldn't they, to get ready. But they were sent back early, and we're getting news now that Jamil Fakir has been relegated to the reserve team.
Yeah, I think that's a statement, that, isn't it? I mean, Fakir, one of the longest-serving players that's there at Castle. In fact, I think he is the longest-serving player. I remember him playing
their
opening night of Super League. Well, you may say scapegoat. Others may say it's justified. I don't know. With us not being privy to you know, discussions which have taken place there at Catalan. There's obviously something wrong, though, if they're conceding so many points and they're not really staying in games and competing with them. I mean, they went down to a fairly heavy defeat the week before, didn't they? And they've already been beaten by 30-odd points at Castleford as well. So, yeah, I think they're a huge work in progress. And one does wonder if they're looking over their shoulder at the minute.
Well, it's at the state. We're only a couple of rounds in, aren't we? But already, the talk of coaches being sat first has already been mentioned. And unfortunately, Lauren Fresnay's name's top of the list at every occasion. So is Craig Sandercock.
I mean, Craig Sandercock, I think he's done a reasonable job there at Hull Kingston Rovers, to be honest. Again, you know, he's changed a lot. He's got a couple of new halfbacks in there. We all know that when you bring just one new halfback in, it can take a bit of time for them to gel and to start pushing players around the field in a fluent manner. And he's got two of them to contend with, you know. So it's again, he's got double the problem, if you like. But again, they haven't been great, have they, Hull Kingston Rovers? I mean, just looking at the games that they've played so far, again, they've conceded quite a lot of points. They've only picked up the one draw, but that draw was against Rusfield, which basically tells you how good that team can be if he gets it right.
Unfortunately, they ran into a rampant St Helens team in round 4.
They did, yeah. 38-18 it finished then, didn't it? And you know, St Helens have been playing some great stuff, though. I mean, Adam Swift back in the tries again, a couple of occasions going over the line there. Luke Walsh just can't stop kicking goals, can't stop prompting his team, and to be honest, they look really, really good. I mean, Hull Kingston Rovers kept it really tight in the first half. It was only 12-all, remember, after 40 minutes, but games aren't won or lost after 40 minutes, are they?
Looking at that St Helens pack, is it fair to say possibly the meanest pack in Super League at the minute?
It's certainly one of the biggest, isn't it? Blimey, you know, they've got some mobility there. James Roby's really, you know, pulling up trees again after what was a disappointing injury hit season for him last year. And with Kyler Moore running, you know, so strongly, they've obviously got Masai to add to that as well. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a good pack that can stop the likes of him and Walmsley.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Tell you one thing, Dave, it's been some great games in Super League that we've been talking about, but it's just as exciting in the Championships in Lee. Wow, what can you say about Lee other than the fact they're more rampant than St Helens?
I know, what a great start to the season, eh? 3 games gone, it was 52 points in each game, I don't think that's ever happened, and also 3 consecutive hat-tricks for a certain player called Ryan Briley as well.
certainly making a name for himself in Super League, and sorry, in the Championship. And
he's made a name
in Super League, because Salford were on to him, but he signed a new deal to remain with Lee and become a full-time player.
He has. That's all starting from next season, yeah. So a new three-year deal in the back pocket there, and one for his teammate as well, Martin Ridyard, who's also been going great guns and being very creative. And that he's certainly a player, is Ridyard, who's nearing 1,000 points for the Centurions now, so let's hope that he can get them and pass them this year.
Certainly Brayley, a player that got away, Castleford allowing him to leave to go to Lee, and they must be thinking, oh man, what have we done?
To be fair though, I mean, they did have Ranky Chase running around in the top half-back position at the time, didn't they? And they've still got some very, very good players there. For me, Ryan's made the right choice. He's decided to stop at Lee for the time being, and I think that is a really wise decision as far as Ryan's concerned, and I hope that he continues to develop. But yeah, you mentioned about the Centurions, it was rampant up until last week when they played against Keighley Cougars. I mean, that was
still a win though.
A great game and a last minute win. Adam Higson, he's probably not scored a lot of tries for the Centurions during his two spells, but he's crossed for two in that game, and two important finishes as well.
Certainly play a good brand of rugby league through Keighley Cougars, and David March is the coach, and he's got them playing the way he used to play. Open flowing attacking rugby league.
It's Paul March.
And
I think he had them playing more through the middle. You know, very strong in the middle. When you've got players like Andy Schickel, and you've got, you know, lads of that ilk who can really mix it up a bit, I think you've got to give them their head. But they've also got Paul Tiger Hanforth there now, who has spent the last couple of years at Halifax.
He's always been called Tiger, or did you just throw that bit in?
No, he's always had the nickname Tiger.
Right, okay.
You know, I don't know where that's come from. I mean, he did play for Castleford once upon a time, so maybe it came from that time, but I'm not sure. But, you know, he's a cracking Championship player, and if you give him a little bit of space, then he's going to control the game. So, you know, he's made a couple of shrewd signings there, to be honest, as Paul March. And you know, Keighley, they're not going to be the easy beats that I think some people might have been looking at before the start of the season.
Paul Tiger Hanforth, maybe players should do that more often.
What, had a nickname?
Yeah, because you mentioned the fact that he maybe got that from his time at Castleford, but if he took it from his time at Wakefield, it would have been Paul the Wildcat.
Well, he could have been. He might have been a Wildcat back in the day. We never know.
You know that on the pitch or on the dance floor?
Hey, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm just thinking it just could be one of those. I don't want him after me.
I'm trying to think of a name for you. What team did you used to play for?
What team did I used to play for? Myself, Paul, Dave the Loner Parkinson.
Is that what you'd be called? Okay. I was West Bank, so I'd be the Adrian West Bank Jackson.
Adrian West? Adrian
the Bank.
Adrian West Banker Jackson.
No, Adrian the Bank Jackson.
Is that just, you know, because your pockets are always bulging,
exactly,
mate?
Exactly, yes. Don't spend any money, as everyone knows within the rugby league. I never spend money.
Interesting to note as well that Featherstone are starting to get back to form as well. They, in week three of the Championship, had to go away to the North Wales Crusaders, who I think have made a particularly good fist of their promotion, since their promotion, of course, and really started testing some of the bigger boys, shall we say. At 6-6, was it? The score at half time in that one, and then Featherstone building on that, winning 36 points to 6 in the end. And then last week they came up against the Rochdale Hornets, another promoted club who aren't making quite a good fist of it at the moment. I think they'll be quite relieved that they're not playing league fixtures this weekend. They went down by 56 points to 6 with Ewis Saley scoring a hat-trick of tries. He's like the Tongan that they brought in over there at Featherstone.
Certainly some interesting signings being made by the Championship clubs, isn't there? One that fixed that caught my eye was the fact that Barrow Raiders clipped the wings of the Eagles to get a hard-earned victory.
Yeah, what a magnificent result that was for Anthony Murray and his
that
boys.
That game coming in round three, by the way.
It did, yeah. And that was Sheffield's big chance. They were going back to the roots, weren't they? The first game had been postponed, that they were meant to be playing the second game of the season. They played it on the road, so the third game of the year, that was when they were going back to Owleton, and it didn't really happen for them. They had almost 900 people there, all expectant, of course. I mean, Sheffield, the reigning champions, and it would be fair to say that they're still only playing in fits and starts at the moment. I'm just looking at their record, 3 games in, 1 win, 2 losses. So
I was having a look on the Eagles website at the Owleton Stadium, and I'm looking forward to going to that Panorama restaurant for a free meal. if anyone's listening.
A free meal?
Eagles, yeah. I'm meant to pay, but I want a freebie.
No, but I've just said about, you know, your bulging pockets, so you can't be expecting a freebie.
I don't spend money, so I'm putting it out to the Eagles officials. When I go there, I'll ring up and I'll let you know when I sorts out with a free Sunday dinner. It looks lovely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I wonder, you know, what your response would be, but...
But I can try me out a lot.
You should try to take some of these Super League clubs. They've got the money. The Championship lads, they need all the money they can get, don't they?
Certainly looks a lot different from the first time I went there in the late 80s. There was the stadium. It looks in good nick.
Oh, do tell. What was it like back then?
Yeah, it was worse than what it is at the minute.
I thought you was going to go into more detail on that, to be honest.
I'm not going
to
do a Mr. Kukash and slag everybody off in public. Getting a fine.
Yeah, I don't know off who, though.
Exactly. Good to see North Wales Crusaders adapting to life in the Championship as well, making the transition from Championship 1 to Championship look a bit easy, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, they played Barrow in the first weekend and beat them 34-16, despite having a player sent off.
Yeah.
Then in the second week, they came up against Featherstone and were really nip and tuck with them for about 60 minutes of that game before Featherstone's extra pace told in the end. And then the third game that they played away at Swinton, and they've come up with a real good result there against the Lions. You know, who, again, I've been a bit slow in getting out of the blocks, to be honest, Swinton. But after all the kerfuffle in the close season and the fact that we're lucky that we can still talk about a Swinton club, I'm guessing that their fans will be, you know, relieved in a lot of ways. And to be honest, they've not been bad, Swinton. Okay, they've lost all four of their opening games in the Championship, but they won three bonus points, so they're not that far away. And I think that they're going to come up with a win sooner rather than later.
Ah, the power of the bonus point keeps you in the race, doesn't it?
Certainly
maybe
does.
Maybe you should introduce it into Super League.
I can't see him doing it, though.
I know.
Which makes me wonder what they're going to do next year when it all gets back into the divisions and we'll look at have a Super League too. It's not going to have bonus points, is it?
It's just going to be two for a win, one for a draw, isn't it? I can't see Super League adopting 3-2-1, can you?
I'll tell you what, it's a shame, though, because obviously there's some big results that have been happening in Super League, so maybe it'd make those teams try a little bit harder to keep things closer.
Prevent the teams from throwing in the white towel a little bit early and looking for the shower.
Yeah, Catalan Dragons take note at the moment.
Right, the game I went to was happening at the Batley Stadium, the loverugby.com stadium, by miraculous belief, by the way.
Nice bit of advertising.
It was, and it is a game between Batley, as you know, and Huddersfield Giants. What am I on about?
Well, they're the dual contract partner club, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It was actually Doncaster who made the journey to Batley. It was John Kerr versus Paul Cook, and we all know the connection between those two, and it was Paul Cook's Doncaster who got the better of Batley.
Yeah, great little game as well, to be honest. I think that Doncaster have signed some really smart players this season. Obviously, Cookie's still able to pull on the boots.
Oh, he looked magnificent. I was watching him there. His selection of passes, he had so much time on the ball. Obviously, and no disrespect to the Championship guys, but it's not the speed of Super League, is it? And that gives him the time to get the ball in his hands, have a look round and select his passes and keep the troops moving forward. He was magnificent.
To be fair, you need the players all doing that, though, don't you? If you're half-back or you're a pivot player like that, you do need the rest of your players to buy into what you're doing, and obviously he's got that. I mean, he's the head honcho there now at Doncaster, isn't he? So, you know, I'm really pleased for Paul that he's been able to make a real good start to his coaching career. Again, looking at the early rounds of the Championship, you know, four games in, three wins for Doncaster. I'm guessing that, you know, this time last year, I think they'd only picked up two bonus points. So, you know, they're already in a much better position. They're heading, or they're looking more towards the top end of the league than at those at the bottom. I hope it continues because, you know, again, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Doncaster, to be honest. It must be because when I first started watching rugby league, that was my first away trip to the old Tattersfield. And I don't know, I always look for the results and, you know, want to see them doing well, to be fair.
Certainly did well on Sunday, and kind of feel sorry for the players that have got to run up and down that hill, but one person I did feel sorry for was Warren Turley. He looked absolutely shattered having to do it for both 40 minutes in each half.
Well, that'll just teach Warren, to be honest, because he was saying how he needed to lose some timber in close season, you know, so now he's done it. I'm sure he's a man on form as well, isn't he? You know, good match official is Warren, as indeed a lot of the people coming through in the Championship at the moment. There is some real smart match officials that are starting to come through, and obviously some of these are starting to filter out into Super League. So, you know, it's not just about players stepping up to the mark like we've already spoken about, it's about officials doing it as well, isn't it? And again, the Championship is your perfect breeding ground for the next set of professionals.
Right, we've got a Championship coach's corner for you. It's Kieran Cook. So John Kerr, a hard fought game against Doncaster. Sadly for yourselves, just lost out in the end.
Yeah, I thought we were very poor today. Credit to Doncaster, I thought they worked really hard. They looked after the ball very well, they built pressure, and you know, the quality players that they've got capitalised on that. But we were our own worst enemies, especially in the first half when we completed 14 out of 24 sets, and you know, we made 10 errors, and two of our players were responsible for 8 of them. So, you know, there were a couple of individual performances that were absolutely woeful.
So there's plenty to learn from that defeat anyway.
There's a lot to learn from, yes. We're very disappointed because all the hard work that they did last week, now it's as if we didn't beat Halifax. You know, we've just got a bonus point, and that's really not acceptable for when you're at home.
And certainly when you had your nose in front, did you think you'd done enough in the first half?
No, not at all, because I thought we played very poorly in the first half, and I think we reaped the rewards of that in different play in the first half, because, you know, they've dominated possession, they've looked after the ball a lot better than us, and ultimately we've cracked.
So, yeah, at the end as well, Doncaster came out the strongest and finished the game.
They did, yeah, because they've had more ball and they've looked after the ball better than us. You know, you can't just keep defending, which was what we'd done all the first half and what we did all the second half, because I think we'd 15 sets in the second half to their 21, and the first half, as I say, our error rate was absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, we haven't done ourselves any favour whatsoever.
So it's fair to say there's no positives to take from this?
Yeah, it's ended. I think that's it. That's the positive, yeah.
Well, Paul Cook, congratulations on the win, but what a tough game that was.
Yeah, it was. We knew it was going to be tough. It's always tough coming up to Batley, and you know, I know the gaffer really well, obviously, and I know how he motivates his teams and how he plays, and you know, we always knew that it was going to be a tight one.
So it was tight first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, playing up the hill, we won the toss, we played up the hill, we knew that as the game progressed everybody would get tired with the slope, and you know, it helps when you can ramp up going downhill, you know, after 60-65 instead of trying to defend coming uphill and carry it out of yardage coming uphill. And you know, thankfully in the end it worked for us. I thought it was a good toss to win, and we chose the right option, and eventually we got over the top.
Certainly finished the strongest of the two teams as well.
Yeah, again, it's a lot to do with the conditions of where we're playing, and you know, if you can win a toss here and play uphill and stick in there, and you know, we did that first half. We was down on energy, down on troops, and you know, we had to really find some energy from somewhere. And you know, I thought the special play came when we kept Finnegan in goal, and then you know, a loose arm from Applegarth in attack, and you know, I don't think we was going to lose the game even just from two in front.
Having just lost out short, close to Dewsbury last week, it's nice to get back on the winning road.
Yeah, well, last season we've spoke a lot about last year, and was two from three at the beginning of last year, and then, you know, 9 weeks later we win again, and you know, 2 from 11 and or 3 from 12 in the end. And you know, we spoke last week about the importance of not going on a run like that. You know, up next is the Army and the Cup, and as far as the Championship goes, the league table, we play Featherstone next and then Halifax. So we knew how important this game was, you know, to carry some momentum in the league into them two big games for us.
You mentioned your connection with John Kerr. Is it nice to get one over your old boss?
Oh, not particularly. I'm not interested in John and who's in charge, or, you know, no disrespect to the club. It's about us as a group and us getting back on the horse as quickly as possible. And, you know, it just so happened it was John. But, you know, I'm certain that they'll be, you know, upsetting one or two here. So it's fantastic for us to get a result and move on.
And you're still enjoying the role as player coach?
Yeah, still enjoying rugby. So, you know, while I'm enjoying and I feel like I'm contributing, I'll carry on. And, you know, once I feel like there's somebody that's better than me in that position, I won't pick myself. So, you know, right now I'm enjoying footy and I'm enjoying coaching and I'm enjoying the rugby union role I've got in Doncaster with the Knights. And, you know, life's pretty sweet at the minute.
There you go. Life's pretty sweet for Paul Cook.
He's just enjoying rugby, isn't he? I think that we could say that about all of us, couldn't we? I mean, it's just a real good story, that, isn't it? Considering that John Keir worked with him as a player over at Wakefield and again at Hull. I just thought it was, a really big victory, and, you know, well done to Doncaster. That's all I've got to say.
Well done, the Donnies. I'm sure the 20 fans who made the journey from Doncaster to Batley would have enjoyed the ride back home.
Yeah, definitely, but no slagging off away support, because it's all got to be done. I mean, you come from Widnes.
I'm not slagging anybody off.
Widnes haven't travelled in huge numbers at times.
I'm just saying well done to the 20 fans that made the journey.
Exactly, well done. Let's leave it there.
I'm saying nothing else.
I've silenced him.
I've silenced him
on this show. Also, it would be, you know, a bit fair to say that, you know, well done to York City Knights as well. They've made a great start to the Kingstone Press Championship. When we talked about how we were expecting Hunslet and York to be up there, thereabouts, with Oldham probably, you know, just tucked in behind them. And so far, York, they've won both their opening encounters, one of them being against Hunslet Hawks. So that could be an early blow.
That's an early statement, isn't it?
It is, really, yeah.
That's throwing down the market early, as they say.
It is, yeah. Great result.
Obviously, we're looking to see how Oxford go as well, and been a mixed start for the Blues, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. I mean, they've won a game, they've lost a game. The one that they lost last week was quite heavily away at Gateshead, to be honest. Gateshead themselves haven't had that many wins to cheer of over the last couple of years, so it is encouraging to see the work that Stanley Jeaney's doing there. And again, I hope that they continue and start to prosper again.
Well, the story regarding Gateshead Fun is the fact that the Newcastle Falcons from the dark side of the rugby are interested in maybe acquiring the Gateshead Fun, the club.
Really? Now, I mean, they played a couple of games over there at Kingstone Park, and that is a great venue, I have to say. Smashing bar as well.
Could be a good move for all, couldn't they? Obviously, they've been maybe alerted by the fact that promotion relegation's back in the frame of rugby league, and maybe they see Gates as a way to boost revenue for their own ground as well. It'll increase the sport in the North East as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And there was talk a couple of years ago of a very similar sort of arrangement being made, but unfortunately it didn't come to fruition at that particular stage. But hey, you know, it could be the time that's right for all parties, couldn't it?
Right, so in the Championship, that takes a bit of a rest this weekend due to the fact that we've got the Champs Cup on the agenda.
Some magnificent games as well.
Whoa. I'm looking forward to Wigan St. Pat's versus Leeds Centurions and North Wales Crusaders versus Pilkingtons.
Battle of the Borough, that, isn't it? Wigan St. Pat's against Leeds Centurions. Then the game that I'm going to be at over the weekend as well is when Rochdale Hornets take on the University of Gloucestershire All Golds.
Could be an upset there.
You never know. You never know. Brad Heppey in charge of the All Golds these days. So
he's rolling back the years if he's playing.
I don't think he'll be playing these days, but you know,
get him out there.
He's got some interesting stories to tell, and I would like to have a chat with him, put it that way.
Good luck to the amateurs that are in the Challenge Cup, by the way. A look for grabs is a play to possibly play the Super League Guns.
Oh yeah, I mean, getting a game against the Super League club, you know, that's where the money starts to roll in, isn't it? I was chatting to the guy who used to be involved at Lee East at the time when they played Bradford, remember, back in the early 90s. They played against Bradford Northern, as they were known in the time, and lost 24-12. It was a great day for amateur rugby, and I'm hoping that there's going to be some great days ahead for these amateur clubs.
You've been listening to the Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson, only on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and LoveRugbyLeague.com.